Good evening. It's been a good day. Not just for me, but for us as a whole, as God's peoples. We all celebrate when one of God's children is obeying his word. This evening, I'm going to be talking to you about obedience / faith. They both really work together, if you come to think about it. I'm going to start my lesson off this evening in Genesis 22, verse 2. This is where God told Abraham, "Take thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Now turn to Genesis 22, we'll read 9 through 12. See. As they came to a place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham spread forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." "Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, and seest thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me." Now you think about what was required of Abraham. Take thy only son and take him to a place which the Lord, which God had told him to go. Now if we read these verses, we didn't see anywhere where Abraham started asking God all those questions, did we? We don't even see one question was asked by Abraham. But now his son asked the question. But only the son, question his son asked, "I see the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb?" Abraham's response was, "God will provide." Now that's faith. That's faith in God all the way and obedient to his word. Now his son was obedient also because he only asked one question. And when that question was answered, we see nowhere where he asked any more questions. He just obeyed his father, which got on the wood, was ready to be slain, and God stepped there. That's faith, brothers and sisters. That's obedient son to his father. Son to his father. Obedient. It could be that he knew God was going to raise his son up, according to Hebrews 11:17. Or it could have been by faith. That's 11:19. And by faith is 11:19. It could have been by faith, which we know it clearly was by faith and obedient to God's word. He didn't question God. He just obeyed God. When you think about it, that's what we must do. We must obey God. Whether we like it or not, we shouldn't question God. We don't know enough. We don't know anything when it comes to God. All we know is what's written. And we're supposed to take God's word at it. Obey the word. Okay, with another character I want to talk about is in 1 Samuel. First Samuel 15:1. It was Samuel had said to Saul, The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. When we say we are God's people and we want to please God, there's always something that we must do. Always something. We aren't just say we're God's people and just sit idle. We must do something. And as we go through this lesson, you'll see. You'll bring it out to you. The Lord sent to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. There's, drop down to it. God has something for Saul to do. And he said, go and smite the Amalekite, and utterly destroy all that they have spared. Destroy all and have spared the, that's when Saul had spared the goods. So Saul took Agag, the king of the Amalekite, alive. Also he took the best of the sheep, oxygen, fatling, lamb, all that was good. He spared them. But what was he told to do? Destroy. Oh, now, in my book, all mean all. I mean, there's nothing left. All is all, no matter how you count it, how you feel about it. It doesn't matter. And the Lord, and he disobeyed. He saved the best. And when he came back, he told Samuel he had performed the commandment of the Lord. Now, accent, did he perform the commandments of the Lord so far as you read? No. He hadn't. But that's what he said he had done. Because thou had rejected, verse 23, because thou had rejected the word of the Lord, he had rejected thee from being king. Obedient and disobedient. He was very disobedient. Not only destroy all what he was told to do, he lied and told Samuel that he had. That's terrible if you think about it. Because when the Lord tells you to do something, you should do. Just like when we just read in Genesis by Abraham, when he told him to do something, he done it without question. Now, Saul was told what to do also. And he didn't do it. He changed it all around to please himself. And thinking that, I don't know how he could think that would please God. I'm going to say man's thoughts and God's thoughts are so far apart. I have to remember in Matthew 12:37, we're going to be judged by the word. He said we're going to be condemned and we're going to be justified by the word. Obedient. Now turn your Bible to Genesis chapter 6. And 5-7. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagining of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Wickedness. In response to wickedness, God destroyed the world with a flood. There was one person whom found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And we all know who that is. In Genesis 6:8, that's Noah. We see that obedience brought to Noah life. Noah was not unprepared for judgment, because he moved with fear. He done exactly what God told him to do. Even though he couldn't see why he should be doing this, he moved with fear. He carried out God's order without question. In Hebrews 11:7 said, Noah was warned things not seen. He prepared the ark. Now, after reading that verse, we see what can and will come from obedience and disobedience, which is sin. Disobedience is sin all the way. You disobey God, it's sin. You must obey God. We must obey God. It says sin separates us from God. Just like in Noah's time, the flood, it separated them, he and his household, from death to life. It's really all boiled down to obedience. Like I've been saying all along, obedience. In Matthew 24:42, it tells us to watch them, for we know not what hour your Lord does come. In verse 44, we are to be ready for such an hour as you think not the Son of Man come. 1 Thessalonians 5:2 says, for yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. And you know, none of us here know when a thief's going to strike us. A thief could strike at any time. We don't know. And there's another character I'd like to speak on this evening. It's doing it with the same thing. The same thing, obedience/faith. And it's taken from Exodus. Exodus chapter 12. And that's what he said. It's about the blood, abundance, and freedom. Moses and Aaron, they were to take the blood of a lamb without blemish, a male of the first year. Exodus 12:5. 12:7, they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses. I will pass through the land this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Verse 13 says, the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. In the house wouldn't do. You just couldn't go into any house and be saved. The blood had to be up on the doorpost. What Lord told you to put the blood. The blood had to be on the house, and you had to be in that house if you wanted to be saved. You know, there's no difference today. We have to obey Jesus Christ. We have to follow his commandments if we wanted to be saved. And like we've been stated quite a few times today, two people came forth, put the Lord on in baptism. They want to be saved. That's the only way mankind could be saved. is through baptism. Not without it. Obedient to God's word. It's just like in 2 Kings 5, when Naaman was told to go to a certain body of water, which you know is Jordan. Of course, Naaman mentioned other bodies of water that he mentioned might be just as good. But that wasn't what God told him to do, was it? He had told him to go to the river of Jordan. Not only to go there, but what to do when he got there. And how many times to dip? 7 times. You see how God's word? We don't know what God, we can't read God's mind, but God knows what we're going to do. So we have to follow God. We have to trust in God. We have to be obedient to his word. Have faith in God. Do what he tells us to do. Now, Tanya, now go on down to Exodus 14. And we'll read 13 through 16. See, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptian whom ye have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. When wherefore tried thou unto me, speak unto the children of Israel. And when the Lord told Moses to speak unto the children of Israel. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thy hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry land through the midst of the sea. Now, could then imagine yourself, you following God's servant, and you come to this end, which is a dead end when you don't have in a boat or anything, and all that water you see is water. So what are we going to do? Don't forget faith. Have faith in God. Have faith in the servant. The servant working, doing the work of God. They didn't see no way out. They are being chased. And they come to this body of water and nowhere to go. But what did Moses tell them? God will fight for you. And God did. He had Moses to stretch out the rod, and the sea were open. And they went through on dry land. Not only that, in verse 27 and 28, once they were through, he stretched out his hand again, and he closed it up. And what happened to the Egyptian who was trailing them all on Paris, every last one of them, obedient to God's word. What we see, how God saved his people, how God uses things that we do not foresee, are impossible for us to see. What's impossible for us, it's not impossible for God. He opened up the sea and let his people through. Not only did they didn't go through on muddy land, they went through on dry land. But you got to have faith in God. When you come to an end, you think there's nothing else to be done. Keep God in your heart. Trust in God. Have faith. You see, afterward, verse 14, the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. That's what we must do. We must believe the Lord. We have his word. We study it. Chuck brings it to us every Sunday. On Wednesday, we have God's word, but we must believe God's word for us to work for us. We must trust in the Lord. We must be obedient to his word. We'll talk a little bit about Job. Job 1. The Job, a man that was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and avoided and accused evil. The Job had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and the material blessing was great. In other words, he had all the material blessing that he wanted and needed. In 6, he said, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan was amongst them. Satan came also amongst them. Now today, we can't tell Satan, because Satan comes in many forms. Satan could be your best friend, you not know it. So we won't know until that best friend starts showing his deed in action through word of action. Then we'll know who to follow and who not to follow. Especially young people today. Well, I should say young people. I say young people because there's so much wrongdoing out in our world today. And young people are being led astray simply because of some smooth-talking person, a person that you had trusted, you thought that he was your friend, he or she was your friend. So they have to be careful, very careful. Not only that, the elderly are being taken advantage of also. So Satan is in many forms. Contractors. They're all over doing wrong thing to the elderly. So Satan is out there. Satan is among us. But we must be wise. Okay, so they say, Satan was among them. The Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? A perfect and upright man, one that feared God and that grew evil. Verse 10 says, thou hast blessed the work of his hand, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse thee to thy face. Now that's Satan saying. That's Satan saying, but he's Satan forgetting one thing. God knows the heart. He knows the heart of man. So let's see what happened here. The Lord said unto Satan, all that he has is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So God is giving Satan a chance to prove his point. Because Satan caused a lot of physical and emotional pain on Job. I mean, a lot of pain. But in verse 22, he says, Job sinned not. On all that he went through, he lost everything. He lost his family. He lost all the material blessing he had, but he sinned not. What is that? That's faith in God. He did not curse God. He stuck to his belief. whatever Satan threw at him, he stood to it. He withstood it. With God's help, he made it through it. See, in the end, he was blessed with 7 sons and 3 daughters. That's what he started out with, wasn't it? Also, they say he was blessed more in the latter end than the beginning, simply because he was obedient to God's word. He did not waver. He did not get off the path. He endured the temptation that Satan threw at him, and he came out on top. Now, there's a lot, more to say about Job now, a lot more. I mean, he was a man that I can't imagine what he went through, but he was, and he survived it, and he lived a long time afterward. Now let's go to the New Testament. We're going to Acts chapter 10. This is by Cornelius, a man that feared God with all his house. It's a centurion, captain of the Italian band, a devout man. See, he gave much aim to the people, much arm to the people. He prayed to God always. And he said, thy prayers and thy aim are come up before the Lord, memorial before God. He feared God. He was a good man. He said he gave much to the peoples. But was he saved? There still was one thing he had to do. And that's when he was sent for Peter. Peter came and said, Peter shall tell thee what thou ought to do. There was something that he had to do. Even being good, giving to the peoples and all of that, there still was something else he had to do. So, well, Peter took him up, saying, stand up. That when he saw Peter coming and he fell down before Peter. Peter was a man, honorable man. He told him to stand up. I myself am just a man. When, while Peter spoke the words of God, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them who heard the word. By the way, this is in my closing right here. He spoke the word of God to all that heard him. And which have received the Holy Ghost. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Baptism. That's what we all have to do, every mankind. If you believe in the Lord, if you want to follow his commandment, you must be baptized. So this evening, is anyone here that haven't been baptized after hearing God's word? As we say all the time, the water's ready. The men of this congregation are ready to baptize you. And the Lord will add you to the church. Acts 2:47. As we stand and sing the song of invitation.